Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with your host, Dana Rodriguez, this week with panelists, author Jerry Nachman and educator Lori Fisher.
Gotta be this or that.
And here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely 4th of July weekend. If you can spare us an hour tonight, we would appreciate it because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, if you can spare that time, we would love to have you as our company here. Minds Over Matter will be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio. And when I'm not looking, probably a sports question. So anyway, settle back and feel free to give us a call if you'd like to ask us a question or perhaps answer one of ours. We'll be asking you very shortly. The number is area code 415-841-4134. That is 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. I also want to remind you of our email address, which is Minds Over Matter, surprisingly. That is MINDSOVERMATTER. And then it's all strung together. And it is at MindsOverMatter@Yahoo.com. So that's MindsOverMatter@Yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, though, because it's enough just to be reading off a piece of paper, frankly.
And the cue cards.
Yeah. We can't be distracted by emails. Also, if you'd like to hear the show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you would like a podcast of this show, it should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight. If you call in and like to hear your voice over and over and over again as it appears on the radio or sounds on the radio, that also is at kalw.org. Okay. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions, and Jerry spends a lot of time on his, so I will try to do it justice. Jerry Nachman would like to wish the USA a very happy 240th birthday and add that it doesn't look a day over 235.
It's true.
Thank you. Lori Fisher wants to make the declaration that Independence Day, the movie, not the holiday, is reason enough by itself for a full-scale revolution against sequels. Enough is enough. In contrast, Minds Over Matter promises fresh, weekly, non-sequeled programming. Enjoy.
Sort of.
Well, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Some of the questions we have reruns on.
We try to leave a few years in between if we recycle anything.
And they don't feel like they feel fresh when we do it.
Yeah.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will be waving from atop the Minds Over Matter float in the Alameda 4th of July parade tomorrow. And he knows the foremost thing going through the crowd's mind will be, what the hell is that?
All right. So
can you describe the float to it for us?
It's all done in taffeta. That's all I'm going to say.
As usual. Yeah. We'll all be there with you. Right?
All right, good. Yeah.
Well, don't fool people.
I will need some litter bearers to come with me. Jerry, we will start with you.
Okay, I have a lot of San Francisco questions tonight. Great. Again. What San Francisco Catholic Church has a Muslim mosque in its basement?
Oh,
wow. In its basement, huh?
Well, there are a lot of Catholic churches.
There are a lot.
Is this a fairly well-known Catholic church, Sherry?
Yeah. Yes, I think
okay.
so.
Okay. All right.
How about Grace Cathedral?
No.
Well, you said church. He didn't say cathedral, but of course,
it's a technicality. Jerry and I were.
Jerry is
don't.
Not Catholic, so
neither am I.
What is the difference between a church and a
one is bigger than the other.
Cathedral sounds bigger.
It is bigger.
Okay,
but is it? Do they have a different function, or not that we should get actual information out here?
Well, no. The cathedral is usually the diocese the seat of the diocese. Yeah, that's the big place.
All right. So this is
not that I know. I'm just making it up. Really. I'm not Catholic either.
You could fool us.
Yeah.
This is just a garden variety.
But I'm closer to Catholic than you guys. Let's put it that way.
Much. Yeah.
Okay. How about, just a guess, how about Old St. Mary's?
No.
All right.
Young St. Mary's.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Okay.
Is the church downtown?
I'm not sure where. No, I don't think it is. I'm not sure, though.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question, Jerry?
What San Francisco Catholic Church has a Muslim mosque in its basement?
Do you know if it's been there for a long time? Do you know anything about that?
I think so, but I'm not sure about that either.
It's really interesting when you think about it.
All right. Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, I came across a list of one-hit wonders. These are people who only had one song in the top 40. But all of these people are not famous for making records. It'd be people like, here's an example, like Richard Harris, the actor, had MacArthur Park.
Yeah. Okay,
so here's a list of famous people.
He had a record in the top.
He had a record that was number two, MacArthur
Somebody
Park.
Somebody left that cake out in the rain.
So all of these were in the top 40, all by really well-known people.
They're not well-known as the singers.
Correct. Well, you'll see who they are. The first one's Lorne Greene from Bonanza.
Oh.
Second, I'll give the list.
Okay.
Second one is Wink Martindale. The great Wink Martindale. Martindale. The third is Mike Douglas, the talk show host.
Mm.
Fourth is George Maharis of Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth is famous for being a musician, but not his record, Steve Allen. And number six, Jerry Lewis. So these are people who had one record in the top 40 in their entire lives.
Go through the list once more.
The name of the record. Lorne Greene. Two is Wink Martindale. Three is Mike Douglas. Four is George Maharis. Five is Steve Allen. And six is Jerry Lewis.
Well, I think Mike Douglas is the man in my little girl's life. Is that it?
The man in my little girl's life. That's what he was worried about.
Because I remember used to sing that on the show.
Yeah.
When I was a child, I used to watch the Mike Douglas show.
Remember the year? The year of the hit?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say the mid-70s, maybe early.
66.
Oh, that early?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so that Mike Douglas recorded The Men in My Little Girl's Life.
Well, Steve Allen was not a vocal. It was a piano.
Correct.
Was that the theme from Picnic?
No. I'm just thinking if it was. No, it's not.
Was it the, was it called Picnic?
No.
No, okay. Well, not, he didn't sing his own song. This could be the start of something.
Wasn't that?
He never sang that, no.
I think this is just a musical recording, but it wasn't.
Is it a theme from something?
No.
Okay.
As far as I know, it's an independent song recorded by many people. And
Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Jerry Lewis one was Rockabye Your Baby.
Rockabye
Baby.
1956.
Yeah.
Right, so Dana, you're done guessing.
Okay.
All right, so there's four more.
Is Lorne Greene like a reciting something like the Gettysburg Address or something?
No, but as I recall it, he talks. It's a song, but
he doesn't sing. Yeah.
It is a talky
song.
He talks.
Okay.
This is the only one, Lorne Greene's, that was made number one in 1964. So we're looking for Lorne Greene, Wink Martindale, George Maharis, Steve Allen. Dana got Mike Douglas, The Men in My Little Girl's Life, and he also got the wonderful Jerry Lewis doing Rockabye Your Baby with a Dixie melody.
I think it was number one in France, too.
I hope so.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, Hayward.
Hi.
This is not Lorne Greene. It was Ringo.
That's correct. Very good. Ringo. Yes. 1964. Way to go, Garrett.
And the one by Wink Martindale was Deck of Cards.
That's correct.
Very good.
Well, what was that?
Deck of Cards, 1959. Yeah. That one I had never heard of.
That's
very
a
good.
Song?
Apparently.
And the one by Steve Allen, was it by chance Moonglow?
It was not. That's the theme.
Oh, that's what Jerry was thinking, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the guy. I got a couple questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, what TV sitcom's first season was in black and white, though it did have one episode in color, while the remainder of the sitcom's run was in color?
Well, okay, so it's something that was on in, like, 63, 64, 65?
The 60s, yeah.
Was it, by any chance, Gilligan's Island?
No. Longer in Gilligan's Island.
It was on longer?
Yeah, we had for 5 seasons.
My Favorite Martian.
That's not a bad guess. How about Mr. Ed?
No. I'll give you a clue. It featured an Oscar winner. It was based on a comic strip panel.
Oh, Hazel?
Yes.
Whoa, very good.
Oh.
Yeah.
And speaking of Oscar winners, what Oscar winner was the first to appear in a syndicated television series?
What Oscar winner was first?
The first to appear in a syndicated television series.
Syndicated.
Oh, how about Broderick Crawford and Highway Patrol?
Yes, Highway Patrol.
Very good. Yeah, that's excellent. Highway Patrol. Good question, yes.
Yeah.
10-4, Garrett.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, all my questions tonight are basically about American history or presidents and something to do, that something dealing with that.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble, Jerry.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. It's not that. They're not that hard. Well, maybe they are. All right. This is sort of for you. It's very weird question, but sort of obscure.
You're pointing at me or Jerry?
No, more you. Okay. But Jerry might guess it too. What president traveled to Shakespeare's birth? This is after this person was president. What president traveled to Shakespeare's birthplace and, using a knife, whittled some souvenirs from Shakespeare's furniture?
Really?
Yeah.
Bill Clinton.
No.
So he goes to Shakespeare's.
He goes on a tour. He goes to England and he takes out a knife and he whittles some souvenirs to take home from Shakespeare's
so
furniture.
There was very little security going on in those
Very
days.
Little, yeah. Yeah.
Gee whiz.
How about Andrew Jackson?
That's a good guess,
yeah.
But no.
Okay. Uh-uh. But is it somebody more closer to Jackson than Clinton?
Yeah, I would say so.
It could be kind of a literary president.
Well, who went to England? All right, so that they had, who would have gone to Shakespeare's grave as president in 19th century?
Shakespeare's house.
His house?
Yeah, his house.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd whittle something from his grave.
Was it common to go to England?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that's a good question. All right.
So what former president, this person was the former president at the time, traveled to Shakespeare's birthplace and whittled away some souvenirs from Shakespeare's furniture.
So it couldn't be Lincoln. He was never a former
president. Wasn't Lincoln. I know he never went to England that I know.
He was not a former president.
He was never a former, yeah.
No, yeah, that's very true. He was never a former president.
Grant?
No. Okay. Good guess, too. Okay. Second question. I found 8 films that have the president's name or initials as the full title. So I want you to tell me the 8 films that have a U.S. president's name, a real U.S. president's name, as the full title of the film. Now, it can
not
be initials.
Not necessarily about the president, though.
Seven of them are actually about the presidents. One is not, but it just happens to have the president's name as the title.
That's the whole title.
Lincoln is one.
Yes.
The recent Spielberg film.
Right. So the 8 films I found that have a U.S. president's full name, or excuse me, let me take that back. 8 films I found that have a U.S. president's name as the full title of the film. In other words, no My Nights with Millard Fillmore. Yeah.
Wilson is one.
Yeah,
Wilson is one. Okay, so you each got one there. So
there's 6 more.
Wilson, which 1944, and Lincoln, which is 2014, 13, something. So there are 6 more.
We get one more guess each?
Not for now. Okay. I'll give you another guess a little bit later.
Okay.
So again, what are the films, the U.S. feature films, that have a U.S. president's name? And it can be just initials as the full title of the film.
And it's just their last name. Not necessarily?
No. It can be their initials or it can be their full name.
Okay.
Or just their last name, like in the
Or
two
a combination of above. Mm. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134.
You say there are
6 more.
6 more, sorry.
415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
And my question is, who was the only president not to give an inaugural address?
Well, I mean, Are you counting the presidents that succeeded because of the death of their predecessor?
No.
Like if I said Gerald Ford.
Yeah. Gerald Ford.
Okay.
How about LBJ? Oh, well, he did after he was elected.
Yeah, after he was elected.
Oh, that's good.
All right,
yeah.
Gerald Ford. There you go.
And then on the Muslims and the churches?
Right.
How about St. James?
No.
Okay. And then on the, something about the president traveled somewhere or something?
So what president, what former president traveled to Shakespeare's home and using a knife whittled some souvenirs?
How about John Quincy Adams?
That's a good guess, but no.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
What a bad thing to do, take a knife out and start whittling Shakespeare's
first. He never knew when he was going to come back, I guess, so better take it now.
Yeah, put his initials in there.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernalhi.
Hi.
And as far as the presidential films,
yes.
Film titles, how about JFK?
Yes, JFK, very good.
Nice.
And I have two presidential questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
So far, well, there won't be any more. So far, this presidential campaign, only four of the candidates have had Secret Service protection. Two are pretty obvious.
Well, Trump and Clinton.
Right. Bernie, two a little less so.
Bernie Sanders.
For
Sanders
sure.
Is third.
Did Ted Cruz?
No. But keep going on that side of the ticket.
So Rubio then. Rubio?
No.
Oh.
So then Kasich?
No. So we're down to process of elimination. I'll just tell you, it's Carson. It was Carson.
Ben Carson,
really?
Huh?
Yeah, he requested it.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, if you request it, I guess you
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, if you request
right,
it, you get it.
Right.
Second,
how about Gary?
Which was the first presidential campaign to have a website?
Oh, good.
And it is still up.
Wow. Campaign to have a website.
This campaign, you mean, or any?
No, ever.
Ever.
Oh.
Huh.
That's a great question.
Okay.
And it's still there. We could find
it. It's still there. It's a charming example of old web design.
Is
Eisenhower.
Is it the 90s?
It was.
So is it maybe, by any chance, like Bob Dole?
Exactly. Dole Kemp.
Oh, great.
96. Dole? And DoleKemp96.org still exists.
I'll have to look that up.
That sounds great.
That's interesting.
And Clinton Gore had one very shortly thereafter, but Dole Kemp got there first.
Interesting.
That's all right.
Thanks.
That's a great
guys.
Piece of trivia.
Yeah.
That really is.
Good night.
Good night. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We are an audience participation quiz program, so feel free to call in and participate. That's very, very important. That number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Gerald Nachman, who has a new book coming out in a few months. Actually, you can order it now on Amazon.
Pre-order Showstoppers.
Exclamation
point.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get a couple of bucks off if you go to Amazon.
Everybody do that.
Thank you.
And, of course, Lori Fisher, teacher emeritus from Diablo Valley College. He's still weighing the possibility of going back.
Still trying to spell emeritus.
Emeritus, yeah. Okay. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on San Francisco's favorite public radio station, KALW. That's 91.7 FM. So, Jerry, it's your turn, I believe.
Okay, I have a four-part kind of historical question about old shops and restaurants.
Okay, in San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Don't apologize for it.
Okay, I'll ask all of these at once. Should I ask them all at once or one at a time?
Yeah, go ahead. That's fine.
Okay, what famous San Francisco flower shop was famous for its elaborate Christmas displays? That's the first. What famous San Francisco clothing firm began with the name Plain Jane? What famous North Beach restaurant, once called Lupo's, was renamed for its Chinese cook? And finally, what later famous San Francisco restaurant began as Hinky Dinks?
Oh, I've heard of that. Just go through everything once more, Jerry, if you would.
Okay, what old San Francisco, famous San Francisco flower shop was famous for its elaborate Christmas display? What famous San Francisco clothing firm began with the name Plain Jane? What famous North Beach restaurant, once called Lupo's, was renamed for its Chinese cook, and what later famous San Francisco restaurant began as Hinky Dinks?
I've heard that Hinky Dinks someplace.
Yeah.
If the restaurant is still open, is it still working?
Not in San Francisco.
There was a department store called Hinks. Was it in there?
No. Is it like
in Berkeley? Yeah.
Oh right.
It's not like Original Joe's or something like that.
Something like that, but not that.
But not that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the restaurant that was named after the Chinese cook.
That was Lupo's.
That was Lupo's.
In North Beach.
I remember going here in high school when it was called Lupo's.
Really?
It's still there under this name.
Under the Chinese cook's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds Italian, but apparently it was Chinese.
Oh, it sounds Italian.
Yeah.
But it's the Chinese.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Huh.
So
all right.
A North Beach restaurant that sounds Italian? That's
interesting.
That really opens the door.
Very well known. Yeah.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janusz.
Hi.
Question about the book we all must order on Amazon. Is that Showstoppers?
It is.
Yes, it is. Thank you,
okay.
Janusz.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Now I know what to do.
I expect you'll get it.
Could you say the name again?
Showstoppers.
With an exclamation point.
Yes, very good.
Thank you very much for the plug.
And the question about your question, you said an American president who did some vandalism, yes?
Yes.
Well, as it happens, I remember exactly from American studies days, it was two future presidents together.
Oh, future president. I thought they were actually...
John Adams.
All right.
And Jefferson.
Ah, the one I had was Jefferson.
No, they were together... And I'm absolutely certain of this. It made a deep impression on me. They were envoys to France and England, respectively. And this was 1820s. So I'm sorry, 1786.
Right, there you go.
Right. And so they went to Stratford, and they were let in after they gave a tip to a servant. And what I remember is that Adams said that they showed us a wooden chair in the corner where Shakespeare used to sit.
Mm.
And we cut off a chip, quote, according to the custom.
Really?
A chair couldn't have lasted very long.
Really?
So they had Jefferson and Adams,
according to what custom?
So they had a prop chair that they offered to the tourists.
I hope so.
They kept replacing the chair.
Saying it was Shakespeare's,
I have a question about Adams.
Mm-hmm.
He is known to have died on the 4th of July, John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And another president is also known to have died the same day, I think.
Jefferson.
Right.
Well.
But there was a third president who died on the 4th of July.
Oh.
And there was a president to be born on the 4th of July.
Is it Calvin Coolidge?
Coolidge is the one who was born.
Born on the 4th of July.
Right.
Okay.
And somebody else passed away.
The fifth president died on 4th of July.
Was it a 20th century president?
No. The fifth.
The fifth
president. Number five.
Okay.
Count quickly.
James Monroe.
Right.
So Monroe, okay. Jefferson, and Adams all died on July 4th.
Showstoppers, right?
Okay, yes.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good.
S-H-O.
I have to hire him as my advanced man.
Really?
And Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, I have some homework for you to do. So I have slogans from famous companies that I'm going to ask you there. Who is the author of this with their advertisement? There's six of them, all well-known companies, all American companies, so we'll celebrate that. On the 4th of July, the first is American by birth, rebel by choice.
Hmm.
Number two, impossible is nothing. Number three, between love and madness, Lies, Obsession.
That's Minds Over Matter.
I know. It's our tagline, too. Number four is See What We Mean. Number five is Share Moments, Share Life. And the last is When There Is No Tomorrow. So these are all slogans or taglines for famous companies. I think they're all American companies. That's a little bit of a hit.
So you're not looking for a particular product. You're looking
Correct.
For a company. Name.
A company. American by birth, rebel by choice. Impossible is nothing. Between love and madness lies obsession. See what we mean. Share a moment, share a life. When there is no tomorrow. I'll give you two each.
Gosh, I honestly have to say I don't. None of these are really. The between love and madness lies obsession. That's a little familiar.
I thought that was the perfume called Obsession.
Yeah, that's. Yeah,
I think you're on
you
the
said
right
it was not a product.
Well, it was a tagline. It might be a product for this company, but the company used it maybe in general. So it might be for the perfume this company made.
Is it? Is
I think
Obsession.
It might be.
Yeah, who did that?
Calvin Klein. Oh,
that's correct.
Very good.
That right? That's
okay.
good. Between okay. love and madness lies obsession, Calvin Klein.
Right.
And
okay.
that probably was a particular product.
Yeah, okay.
See what we mean.
When there's, let's see, share moments, share, that sounds like a beer.
Is that something like Polaroid? Is that a
the
camera
Share
company?
Moments, share life? It is some, it's closer to Polaroid
than beer.
Budweiser.
Right, that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not Polaroid.
Kodak? Or?
Kodak's right.
Oh, okay.
Very nice.
All right.
Share moments, share
like
life
a
is Kodak.
Sort
it does.
Of thing. Yeah.
So we have four more.
All right.
I
don't know
Kane?
The others.
No. American by birth, a rebel by choice. That one you can almost figure out by it. Impossible is nothing. See what we mean and when there is no tomorrow. That one makes sense, too, when you know what it is.
Which one can we figure out?
The first one, American by birth, rebel by choice, I think, and when there is no tomorrow. They
can
make
you
sense.
Tell us if any of these are food products?
None are food products.
None. Okay.
Any cars in here?
Oh.
No cars.
Is the first one, is that a motorcycle?
It is.
Is it Harley Davidson?
It is Harley Davidson.
Oh, okay. Very good.
American
All right.
by birth, rebel
you
by
choice.
You
figured it out.
Yeah, I did.
Nicely done.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So three more out there. We'll leave them out.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. So some of the best best TV shows to watch really was the 60s, like Dick Van Dyke and the Griffiths. You know, Beverly Hills, Billy's, and all that.
Gilligan's Island.
So, yeah, which, beside Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore, who are the only two survival they're still living until today?
What shows?
The show.
You mean the two leads are female?
Dick Van Dyke, yeah, they're still living today. Everybody else is dead.
So,
Carl Reiner's alive. Carl Reiner's
so surviving.
You're talking about what? So what show from the 60s has both leads?
No, I'm talking about just Dick Van, you know, the Dick Van Dyke.
Who's alive from the Dick Van Dyke show?
Oh.
Yeah.
Carl Reiner's still alive.
Well, Carl Reiner's alive.
Right. Well, Dick Van Dyke's alive.
Dick Van Dyke. And Mary Tyler Moore.
He said those two.
The woman that played, the second leads are dead, I think.
Rosemary.
How about Leonard?
No, Rosemary's still alive.
Is she?
Rosemary's still alive.
But Millie Helper, just the woman who played Millie Helper, just died.
She just died, yeah.
Jerry Paris died.
Isn't how about the little boy? What was his name?
Oh, the little boy.
Rusty
Hamer.
Richie.
What was his name?
Rusty Hamer.
No, I think that was Danny Thomas.
So Carl Reiner, I don't get credit for.
I helped me a little bit. Jerry?
I think the little boy, didn't he die too?
No. He's still alive. He's
all
60
right.
years old. Believe
okay.
it or not, 60 years old.
All right.
What was his name?
Jerry Mathis.
Jerry Mathis. Okay.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
That's
the
Beaver.
That's
wait a minute.
No, different one. No, he's
same
right.
Same name?
It's different. Different.
Different
no,
Jerry
Mathis.
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 Oh,
yeah,
Mathis.
Not,
okay.
No,
okay.
Not Matthew. Not Mathis.
Right.
Okay, the other show that I loved was the Andy Griffith Show. Everybody's dead. Except, well, you know what bothered me, too? The two teachers, they were just pretty women.
Yeah.
What is their name? The two teachers.
In real life?
And was replaced by another one later on.
Two teachers?
One
was Barney's girlfriend.
The actress's name or the character's name?
No, I'm not talking about Barney's girlfriend. I'm talking about the teachers.
Oh,
they were actually, they became Andy's girlfriend.
Yeah, Andy dated the teachers.
One was the woman that played the daughter on Father Knows Best.
Princess.
Princess.
Kitten.
What do you mean this audience?
Sharon.
I searched that stuff, and everybody watched.
Oh, I can't think of her name now.
most everybody is dead.
Well,
the shows are 50 years old.
They'll do that. So there's
if
not
you
much,
live long enough, yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you live long enough, okay, you die.
All right.
What is that girl's name? Yeah.
He'll come to me. Yeah. He'll come to me. Go ahead.
Beside iron, there is two other elements that you can make permanent magnet out of.
Good segue. So
this is the audience.
Yeah.
This is the audience.
All right.
Beside iron, there's two other elements.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank
great
you.
Show. Thank you.
See, I'm surprised. I think of E.E. as a very serious guy.
But he loves those 60s sitcoms.
I can't imagine him sitting in front of the TV
show. Bud Gray was
Back in Egypt watching the Andy Griffith show.
Bud Gray was the brother. I'm trying to remember the two girls' names, right?
Oh, well, Kitten and Princess.
Yeah. But I mean, in this Bud Gray, I'm trying to remember in real life. Bud Gray was the kid, the boy.
Paul Peterson. Paul
that
Peterson.
Was the Donna Reed show.
Oh, you're
the
right.
Boy ended up in drugs.
Oh, Billy Gray. Yeah. Billy Gray was the
that's
was
what
the
I
son.
Just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bud Gray. Yeah. Billy Gray.
His name was
drug addict.
I can remember she had a ponytail.
And, yes, and then when she grew up, she played for about a couple seasons. She was Andy Griffith's girlfriend on the Andy Griffith Show. And she's still alive.
Robert Young let her date Andy Griffith. Huh?
Yeah.
Is Rosemary still alive?
She is. Oh. I think. Pretty sure.
How about Richard Deacon? He was the boss.
Did you know that Rosemary was named after the show Rosemary?
What?
Did you know that Rosemary was named after the show Rosemary?
Really?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that like Rudolph Frimmel?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you 8 films.
Oh, my God.
And these films are the favorite films of various presidents.
Oh. And we're supposed to guess.
You're supposed
the
to
film
guess
the
president.
Oh,
is this mic working, David? Okay.
why?
It got quiet in here for a second. No.
We're anticipating
the
question.
Yeah, it got very quiet. So, yes, I'm going to give you these are all famous films. So these are 8 famous films, and I want you to tell me which president felt that this was their favorite film. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Number 1, Casablanca.
Well, that's everybody's favorite.
Number 2, Birth of a Nation.
Really?
Yeah, that's the film in which Jerry ran for the doctor. That's such an old joke. Number 3, High Noon. Number 4, The Searchers. You know, the John Wayne film.
Yeah.
Number 5, Patton. Number 6, My Darling Clementine. Huh. Good movie.
Yeah.
Number 7, Field of Dreams. And number 8, basically your basic Abbott and Costello film. I'm not singling out one.
I know Patton.
So wait, let me just go through the list once more. So each of these films was a favorite film of a president. So what I want you to tell me is, and obviously we're not talking about Zachary Taylor here. These are all 20th century presidents. So give me the president and match them up with their favorite film. Number 1, Casablanca. Number 2, Birth of a Nation. Number 3, High Noon. Number 4, The Searchers. Number 5, Patton. Number 6, My Darling Clementine. Number 7, Field of Dreams. Number 8, Abbott and Costello, some various Abbott and Costello films. Okay, I'll give you each a guess or two.
Yeah.
Well, Patton was Nixon's famous favorite.
It was.
Favorite
it
movie.
Was.
Yeah.
Very good. Yes.
And I think Reagan liked John Wayne films, so I'm going to guess The Searchers for Reagan.
No.
Okay.
No.
Can I guess the other John Wayne film, My Darling Clementine for Reagan? Or is that
That's not John Wayne. That's
oh,
Henry
you're right.
Fonda.
That's Henry Fonda.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, go ahead if you want to guess.
I'll guess High Noon for Reagan.
I'm going to give you credit for that because actually Reagan is not on this list.
Oh.
And that was one of his favorite films too. But I have it's also another president's favorite film.
Okay.
So I'll give you credit for that.
High Noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to guess Field of Dreams is Bill Clinton.
No.
Okay. It's got to be pretty recent. That film's not that old.
Right? John Tyler. No.
I know Millard Fillmore. Would have liked it.
No. And, all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, they said there were more calls ahead of me. So the florist that we had the Christmas displays, that was Podesta Baldacci.
Very good.
Wow. Oh, very good.
So, and I don't know Hinky Dinks, but there were 2 more things in there, and I thought I knew one of them, and I can't remember what the other 2 questions were.
One was a clothing firm originally called Plain Jane.
Was that Esprit?
It was.
Oh,
right.
Very good.
Excellent.
Good job.
Okay, I don't know the other ones.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're good.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see. The films, not the, well, I guess the favorite of the presidents, why not? Abbott and Costello, is that Truman?
It is not Truman.
Ah, shoot.
And they could have watched these films years after they came out, too.
Sure.
Or,
yeah.
You know, it's conceivable.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Just so you
know. I was going to guess Truman would kind of have an Abbott and Costello kind of
right.
Mean about him. Birth of a Nation, would that be Wilson?
It would be Wilson, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, he's,
really?
He's that kind of.
Yeah, he
racist.
Loved those Klan movies.
Yeah. let's see. For the other films, the president films, did somebody guess Nixon?
No.
Very good. Right.
Very good.
Okay, another Oliver Stone one. And how about W, or is that too short?
No, that's no, fine. That counts.
That on?
Very good.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. Oliver Stone kind of filled up that list.
Yeah.
What, is
think
W?
Of any of the other ones.
W is the film about Bush and Oliver
oh, yeah,
Stone.
Yeah,
did.
Of course.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a movie called W.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty good.
Came out about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Really?
Are you still there?
Yeah, with a Josh Brolin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
He does a really good Bush.
He does, yeah, he does a great Bush.
Yeah.
let's see, The Impossible is Nothing. Is that Adidas?
It is Adidas.
Oh, very good. Good job.
Nicely done.
Excellent. And then related to slogans, the Nike slogan, Just Do It, was inspired by some famous last words.
Oh.
Oh, it's...
You know who...
Just go ahead and kill me? Is that, was that the...
Oh, it was Let's Do It was the inspiring words from Gary Gilmore.
Really?
Oh.
And that's where Nike got its expression?
Yeah, that's what the ad writer who came up with it, he found that was,
I think
it,
that's
those
more
were Gilmore's last words.
I think they would want that well known.
All right. Well, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Right.
Let's see, and then I've got one
oh,
question on right. Related to Hitchcock films.
Okay.
So as far as I can tell, there are only two actors still alive who played the title role.
Oh, what a good question.
The title
in
role
Hitchcock
in Hitchcock films?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
The title role. How far back do we go here?
Back to the 40s, 30s.
The title role.
And it's not necessarily a name either. So like for Psycho, Tony Perkins would be the title role.
Right.
But is Joel McRae still alive?
No.
Okay.
And you never saw Rebecca, so that doesn't work.
Well, Kim Novak is still alive. Vertigo.
But she's not a title role, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
not
yeah.
A title role.
Okay.
That's
I don't think that lifeboat is around anymore. let's see.
Is one of the strangers on the train still alive? No. Is Farley Granger alive?
No, Farley Granger's not alive anymore either.
And, okay.
40s. Okay. Let me think.
The earliest one, I think, is the 40s. Maybe, yeah, the 40s, maybe.
Is it
the,
Paradine case?
Wow.
Nope.
No? Okay.
Are they well-known Hitchcock movies?
40.
They are.
Oh, boy.
Well, Olivia de Havilland just turned 100. Is she in any Hitchcock films?
Mm-mm. No. Interesting.
So I'm thinking of films
40s.
Of his in which there's a title character, North by Northwest.
Suspicion, no. This is a good
question.
We
need a hint.
It's a good question. Part of late 40s?
You know, frankly, I'm not quite sure. I think earlier than the late 40s.
Earlier.
Might even be earlier than that. And he's still acting. Both are still
Saboteur?
Acting.
Oh, yes, Saboteur, of course. That Norman Lloyd. Norman Lloyd is still alive, who played the Saboteur. Yeah, he's 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was in, his last film.
Yeah, he was, I saw it. He was, wasn't he in Amy Schumer's film?
Yeah, that's right. Trainwreck.
Trainwreck, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And, okay, so the next one is from what time period, roughly?
Later, 60s.
Oh. Okay.
I think
60s,
maybe. Oh, yeah, Marnie. What's
yeah, very good.
Tippy very good. Yeah.
Tippy Hedren.
All right, good job.
Yeah, Tippy
good
Hedren.
Job on that.
Yeah.
Okay, good question. Good question.
We should get questions that are left out.
Yeah.
One
Thank
of the
you.
Presidential movies, Heinen, would that be... George Bush Sr.?
I would not.
Okay.
And let's see.
Should we have outstanding questions?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you're right. Okay. I got carried away. All right, let's repeat anything that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Well, okay, these are old San Francisco questions. What famous North Beach restaurant, once called Lupo's, was renamed for its Chinese cook? It is still there. And what later famous San Francisco restaurant began as Hinky Dinks? And what San Francisco Catholic Church has a Muslim mosque in its basement?
And you said that the restaurant, the one that was named for the Chinese cook, it doesn't sound like a Chinese name.
No.
It
sounds Italian, he said.
Sounds Italian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. I have two slogans that are out there from companies. One is "See What We Mean," and the other is "When There Is No Tomorrow." And then I have two one-hit wonders. These are people known for other things who had one song hit the top 40, and we're missing George Maharis and Steve Allen. Our
George
panel got
Maharis.
Lauren Green, Wink Martindale, Mike Douglas, and Jerry Lewis.
He's still alive, George Maharis.
He is, yeah.
Did he sing a theme from Route 66?
No, I don't think so.
He was on that, wasn't he?
He was on that with
Buzz Murdoch and Todd Stiles.
Yeah.
That was the character names.
That's right. Oh, that's very good.
But the opposite guy was the kind of fair, freckle-faced guy.
Who was he?
Round face.
George Maharis was the troubled
Who was the co-star, that's right.
Well, except
good
he
looking.
Had a good friend.
Kind
yeah,
of sultry.
Good yeah.
Who was the co-star, though?
Martin Milner.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, so George Maharis and Steve Allen's instrumental version of... Boom.
Not Picnic.
And not, this can be the start of something big, not that, not Moon Glow.
Okay.
Well-known song.
And so I have a list of films here that have the president's name or initials, a real U.S. president's name or initials as the full title. Yes, we do.
We have one left.
So we have, so far we have Lincoln, Wilson, JFK, Nixon, and W. There are three left on the list. What are those? And I give you a list of the favorite films of the presidents, the ones that we still have out. So you have to tell me the president whose favorite film this was. Casablanca, High Noon. We have one High Noon for, I think you guessed, what, Reagan? And that was one of Reagan's favorite films. But there's another president whose favorite film that was. The Searchers, My Darling Clementine, Field of Dreams, and Abbott and Costello, in sort of a general sense, films.
Can I make another guess, or are we?
Oh, go ahead.
Carter for Casablanca.
No.
Okay.
Seems like he'd like that.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Herb in Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Herb.
Happy Declaration Day, Independence Day.
Right. You too.
To all you guys. Thanks. There were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Uh-oh.
Name them all.
Now, this isn't so hard. Only one of them was Roman Catholic. Who was he, and what state did he represent?
Oh, was he from Maryland?
Yes.
One of my favorite signers, Button Gwinnett.
No, he's from Georgia.
Great answer.
Really, yeah.
Obviously not a Catholic.
Was it Carroll?
Exactly. It was Charles Carroll.
Carrollton.
Very good.
Charles Carroll of Carrollton,
right.
I guess, is the official name. And he has another distinction. What is that? It has to do with longevity.
Was he the one that... Well, I'm just going to guess. He either died the first or he lived the longest.
He lived the longest.
All right, there you go.
He was also at the oldest age when he died. He was 95. He lived from 1737 to 1832.
Oh.
And one other.
He would have known which church the mosque was in, by the way.
We still don't know. Yeah,
yeah, go ahead.
In order to sign the Declaration, you had to be... delegate to the Second Continental Congress, and there are only two future presidents who signed the Declaration of Independence. Who were they?
Future presidents, well, Jefferson.
Yep.
And Adams.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Nice.
Those were the only two.
Very good.
And that does it for me.
Thank you very much.
Good evening.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to call in, the number is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. Jerry, you have a relatively short question?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. Okay, here's a sports question. Only two athletes
Shorter than that?
I think they're both local.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have ever played in both the Rose Bowl and the World Series.
Oh.
Can you name them?
They're both local?
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The Rose Bowl and the World Series. Hmm. Was this a relatively long time ago?
Well, what's about 50 or 40 years ago?
Well, it's a 50
years
long time
ago,
yeah. Okay.
One of them is well known, the other's less well known.
Didn't Jackie Robinson do that?
No.
No.
No, no.
I thought he did. I know he played football for
UCLA.
Well,
he lettered in a lot of different things, but
well, I know he played football for UCLA and there were strict.
I don't think he ever was in the Rose Bowl, okay. But I don't know.
All right. So this is a good question. Rose Bowl, so football in college, and that up until recently it meant they either were from the Midwest or from the West because that's who played in the Rose
Bowl.
Was one of them in the
military academies?
No.
The military academies have never gone to the Rose Bowl.
Oh, they haven't? Okay.
Yeah. It traditionally was the West Coast, like UCLA USC versus the
one
Big Ten teams.
One of them is I think, UC or UCLA.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
And did any of them play for local baseball teams? Do you know, on the baseball side?
One of them may have.
All right.
Are they pretty well-known players? If you heard the name?
One of them is very well, still pretty well-known.
Oh.
The other is less well-known.
Okay. Yeah.
Was either one a big star in either sport?
Okay, yeah,
one's a big all-star.
Uh-huh.
All right, this is a, let's
All right,
put
think
it out
about
there.
It.
Yeah,
think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, this is fun.
Why don't you go ahead and do a question?
Okay, my question is this. Oh, this is it. This is a political question here.
All right.
I'm asking this. Which five states have the highest percentage of people registered to vote independently for the president? Well, for any election. And two of them, this isn't much of a hint, shocked me, have more than half the people are registered independent.
So
the question is, which five states have the greatest percentage of people registered independent? And the top two have above half.
All right. I'm going to guess two states. I'll guess Vermont and Oregon.
Neither one.
Oh. Okay.
So we're looking for where is the most unaffiliated voters or independent voters.
Would it be California by any chance?
Not in the top five.
Yeah. All right.
Jerry?
Independent.
Hmm.
Missouri.
No. The Show Me State.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all very well-known states.
All right. Yeah. Well, there aren't two. Yeah. I don't think there are any states we haven't heard of yet. So let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Clarification on the difference between a church and a cathedral church.
Yes.
Here we go.
You were quite right in saying it's the seat of a bishop, quite literally. A cathedra is the large ornamental chair.
Oh.
Very good. Thank you.
That's very nice.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, sure. And let's see, A High Noon, was that Lyndon Johnson's?
It was not.
Oh, okay. And let's see, Charles Carroll of Carrollton.
Yes.
He was the only signer to append the name of his estate to his name.
Hmm.
Why is it said that he did that?
Well, wasn't there another Carroll, somebody with the last name of Carroll? I thought there was more than one Carroll.
There certainly were. The Carroll family is numerous in the state of Maryland. They have a whole county to themselves.
Right.
And so people were joking that the British wouldn't know who to hang. They have to hang the whole county.
Oh, okay. I get it.
So he had to identify himself as being the Carroll.
Hmm.
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I have a couple answers. The first is for High Noon. I think that's Bill Clinton, right?
You're right.
Oh,
very good.
And I know somebody mentioned George Bush with Field of Dreams, but I didn't hear if it was George W. Bush. I think that's who it was.
It is George W. Bush, yes.
Because he's a big baseball fan.
Of course.
And then the restaurant Lupo's, was that renamed Little Henry's?
No, it was not.
Oh, good guess, though.
Okay. And then I have, for the most independent voters, could that be Alaska?
That's number two.
Very good.
With 52% of its voters. All right. We got one of them.
And how about Maine or Vermont?
Neither one.
Okay. I have a quick question about you. You mentioned Martin Milner. What early movie where he had a small role, where he was listed as Milner?
He was in
Life with Father.
He was in Inherit the Wind. Is that the one you mean?
No, actually, I mean another one. I'll just say it. I meant The Sweet Smell of Success.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's in that, too.
Yeah.
I think
he okay, was, all right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
He's in a Loeb and Leopold movie, the one with
he
Orson Welles.
He was in, not Repulsion, it's Compulsion.
Compulsion, right.
Not Repulsion. Although there is a movie called Repulsion.
I got a guess on the World Series one. I think I'm wrong, but I'm just trying to brainstorm. So I think Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders both went to the World Series and were superior.
I don't think
they played
That's
in the Rose Bowl, though.
No? Those are not the names
I don't think they were in the Rose Bowl, but they were, you know.
Yeah, they played, yeah. No, right. They're crossover athletes.
Yeah. Right.
Good guesses, but no.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Here's a very tough presidential question.
All right.
Who was the last winning president, the last president who won election, not to win his home state?
Ooh.
And it's 20th century. Who was the last president not to win his home state in an election? Who winning, and he won the election.
Oh,
I said he, so now you know it's a man.
Don't tip your hand.
Yeah.
Well, that's really
I'll give you a little hint if you know anything about elections. He won that election because he won California. In other words, it was a very close election, and because he won California, he managed to win the election.
Yeah, but he lost his own state.
But he lost his own state.
Which might have been a small state.
Yeah. Well, it's smaller than California.
Well, they all
It's not tiny, but it's smaller than California.
Yeah.
So who was the last president who won election but did not win his home state?
Did Bill Clinton do that?
He did win Arkansas, yeah,
both
twice.
Times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember once hearing he might not, so it wasn't him. Wasn't
it's very interesting to look at the electoral maps of the different elections see how things have changed.
It wouldn't have been Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go through it.
No, yeah.
It wouldn't have been Nixon.
No.
It wouldn't have been FDR. This
wouldn't have been Carter, I don't think.
No, Carter won Georgia.
It wouldn't have been Obama won Illinois twice.
Right. All right, take it over for a minute. Let's go to a call.
He didn't play in the Rose Bowl.
He didn't play in the Rose Bowl. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Kurt in San Francisco.
Hi.
I have a piece of San Francisco history I'd like to ask.
Okay.
There was an amusement park in San Francisco at the end of the 19th century for a short time. It featured a 100-foot diameter Ferris wheel, a small roller coaster, a house of mirrors, something called the Haunted Chair, and they were all situated on a midway called the Merry Way. What was it called, and where was it located?
Was it something called that had the word gardens at the end of it?
No, you're thinking of Woodward Gardens. This
yeah.
is after Woodward Gardens.
After
fact,
Woodward Gardens. Okay.
Some of the items from Woodward Gardens were purchased and put into this amusement park.
Okay.
It only lasted from 1896 to 1898.
Oh, well, that's not very long.
Jerry, did you?
It did have a Ferris wheel, and it did have
no idea.
Was it out by the ocean anywhere?
It's yes,
not,
it is.
Yeah, oh, so it was it Sutro's? Adolf Sutro's?
Yes, exactly. It's Sutro's Pleasure Ground.
All right.
And that was the name of it?
Okay. It only lasted
until his death.
3 years.
Then,
it's interesting.
The heirs disputed it, and it fell apart, and it was pretty soon it was decrepit.
So Sutro's Pleasure Grounds. That's a great
name.
Right.
Yeah. It's up above where the Sutro baths are, right across from the cliff house, right next to Sutro's mansion.
It still is a pleasure grounds of a kind.
it still is a pleasure grounds. Yeah. At a different time.
Are there any
right now, it's just a parking lot.
Are there any remnants left anyplace?
No, but there was a historical dig there about 4 or 5 years ago. There was actually an archaeological dig to try and find remnants of this. It was so far, there's so little known about it that they actually had to go and dig, and they found some 10,000 artifacts, mostly the kinds of things you'd find in an amusement park, pieces of oyster shells and broken crockery. And
people's teeth. Right. There are a lot of teeth.
Old cotton candy.
Right, exactly.
Calcified corn dogs.
Right.
Interesting.
Okay, that's all I've got.
Thank you so much.
Great question.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm surprised nobody's gotten hinky-dinks yet.
Good. I hope
that was Victor Bergeron's original restaurant on San Pablo Avenue in Oakland.
Oh, Trader Vic's.
Trader
Vic's. Good job.
Very good.
Very good.
Thank you.
And that's all I've got.
Thank you so much.
That was a lot.
Yeah, Herb Cain used to write about it.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, you mentioned Michael Deacon, who played Mel in the Dick Van Dyke Show. He died in 1984. But the other show that everybody is dead except one is I Love Lucy. Who's the only one that is still alive?
From I Love Lucy?
They're all dead. They're all dead.
How about Little Ricky?
That's it. Yeah. What is his real name? What is his real name?
I don't know.
Little Ricky Arnaz.
Yeah, no, it wasn't really his first son.
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. Yeah, Keith Thibaud Dogs. Thibaudeux. It's amazing how time goes by. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, a show from 1956. Everyone's dead.
I've noticed it.
This is a new side of Eat, though.
Hi. Oh, sorry. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. I'm all confused.
Hello, is that me?
It is you.
Okay. On the Steve Wilson, did he write 76 trombones?
Meredith Wilson
did.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. On the restaurant, how about Little Joe's?
Oh.
No, good guess. No. No.
Oh, my.
It's still there. Little Joe's is closed. But this place is still there. Still very popular.
Oh.
And I have a third guess, and I blanked out on the, I've written down the initials, HS, and I have no idea what it stands for.
HS.
Harry S. Truman?
Harry Truman, yeah.
No. I just blanked.
All right.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, no problem. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
If it's me, the last person to win a presidential election that didn't take their home state was Gore.
That's a great answer. Being technically correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. A double win.
Yes. Thank you.
Good one.
You have someone else in mind.
One more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Did they already guess the initials of the president one?
No, not yet.
FDR?
There's no movie, right?
No movie called FDR.
Oh, there isn't.
No.
And then is there time for one question?
Very quick.
Okay. What bridge in London is called the Ladies' Bridge and why?
The Ladies' Bridge. Is that Waterloo Bridge?
Yes.
And it's because the prostitutes used to hang out on there, right?
Nope.
It's not
a real old bridge.
Nothing to do with executions taking place on the bridge, is it?
Nope.
Nope. You better fill in the blank for us then.
Okay, it's because it was actually built by women during World War II.
Oh, okay.
Great answer.
Very good question. Thank you.
That's it. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Time to clean up. What do we got, Jerry?
Okay, the famous North Beach restaurant once called Lupo's. Renamed for a Chinese cook is Tommaso's.
Oh,
Tommaso's.
Owned by Coppola.
Yeah, didn't see that coming.
Interesting, okay.
Owned by Francis Ford Coppola.
All right.
What San Francisco church has a Muslim mosque in its basement? St. Ignatius.
Oh.
And the only two local athletes ever to play in both the Rose Bowl and the World Series. The famous one is Jackie Jensen, played for the Red Sox, and the Red Sox, and Chuck Essigian. I don't know who he played for.
He played for the Dodgers in 1959 against the White Sox. Okay. He had a home run.
Oh,
yeah. I learned to dislike him. The independent voters, the states with the most independent voters are Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and more than Alaska is Massachusetts. Let's see. See What We Mean is by Cannon, and When There Is No Tomorrow, FedEx. And George Maharis recorded Teach Me Tonight in 1962, right. And Steve Allen did a version of Autumn Leaves, believe it or not, in 1955.
Interesting. The last winning presidential candidate not to win his home state was Woodrow Wilson, New Jersey, 1916.
Okay.
The films that have the president's name as a title, nobody got, George Washington, Tennessee Johnson for Andrew Johnson, and Truman. just the name Truman. Favorite films of the presidents, Casablanca, Obama, believe it or not. That's his favorite film. The Searchers was LBJ. My Darling Clementine was Harry Truman. And FDR loved Abbott and Costello movies. So, and Mickey Mouse cartoons. So if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Gerald Nachman, well-known Bay Area author from Diablo Valley College, formerly. Laurie Fisher, I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Lotelip and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. Have a great week. Have a great 4th of July. Take care, everybody. Join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
One way or the other, if it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't being, it's frank. It's gotta be this or that.
Hi, I'm Miles Hoffman. On the next chamber music concert from Spoleto Festival USA, we'll hear a double concerto by Antonio Vivaldi, Osvaldo Golihoff's Marielle for cello and marimba, and a Dvorak piano quartet. From the Dock Street Theater right to you, don't miss chamber music from Spoleto Festival USA.
Music from Spoleto, tomorrow evening at 9, here on 91.7 KLW San Francisco, where more great music is coming your way this evening, starting now with Sarah Cahill and Revolutions Per Minute.